This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Oh, hi everyone, it's Simon Smart. I'm joined again today by Mick Martin. Mick is the pastor of the Upper Room, which is an independent church in North Sydney. G'day, Mick.
Hey, Simon.
Last time, Mick, we were talking about humanity, and we're going to do that all this week. What is it to be human? And last time we talked mostly about the things that divide us.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that when we talk about our relationship with other people, we use that metaphor of how close they are. This person's close to me, or I'm not very close to that person. And as you say, I think what the effect of that is that we have this view of the universe that puts us right in the center. And I guess that makes sense in light of the fact that we live in such a highly individualistic society where we're encouraged to see the individual as primary and all important. And of course, there's no more important or primary individual than oneself. And so we structure our lives around the priority of self, and whole industries have sprung up over the last century or so around notions like personal development and self-fulfillment and self-improvement. And you know, we see it reflected in the media and in advertising. I remember one classic slogan. I think it was an insurance company that had the slogan for the most important person in your life, you. And that's the philosophy of the society that we live in, and we're entrenched in that.
Yeah, it's this idea of pursuit of self-interest and self-fulfillment is exacerbated by the forces that drive our very consumerist culture, don't they?
I watched a very interesting documentary series recently called The Century of the Self by Adam Curtis, and it was all about how concepts of Freudian psychoanalysis were co-opted in the 20th century, largely by some members of Freud's own family, his nephew Edward Bernays and his daughter Anne, and they saw the potential in these concepts of psychoanalysis that said that we are not driven by rational thinking, but we're driven by unconscious, irrational desires. And so they've developed a way of harnessing those desires and attaching it to mass-produced consumer goods, you know, so that the advertising industry as we know it today was born out of this thinking that says, instead of trying to convince somebody with a reasoned, rational argument why this particular product is of value or would be good for them, forget all that and link that product to their unconscious primal desires.
So all the images around advertising tap into that these days, and very obviously very effectively. You're creating an image rather than necessarily the product information.
Absolutely, and at the heart of all of that is this self-interest, this desire to get ahead and to enhance oneself. You know, there's an interesting quote actually from the documentary by a guy called Paul Mazur, who was a Wall Street banker working for Lehman Brothers in the 1930s, and he said, "We must shift America from a needs to a desires culture. People must be trained to desire, to want new things even before the old have been entirely consumed. Man's desires must overshadow his needs." So it's quite sinister, but it's all driven by this philosophy of individualism that says self is primary and no one matters more than me.
Now, we're so immersed in this philosophy of individualism, Mick, that we're hardly even aware of it, aren't we? It's a bit like the frog in the kettle.
Yeah, exactly, or the fish in the bowl of water that has no idea what water is because that's all it knows.
Because in previous centuries, you would not have had as much of a sense of yourself as an individual like we do today.
No, and even today, there's a continuum. You know, there are some cultures and some societies that are much more collectivist than others, and they have their own issues. Even comparing America to, say, Europe, you know, Europe has a much stronger socialist culture than America, which is highly individualistic and highly consumerist.
But it flows into family, extended family, those sorts of things as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, yeah, all of that. And the paradox, I think, of individualism is that, as I said last time, human beings are by their very nature social creatures. You know, we need to be connected to other people in order to thrive. And this has been researched, you know, our need for connection to other people. And I read something recently by, I think, a neurobiology student, Carly Frintner was her name, and she was looking at the effects of prolonged periods of solitary confinement on prisoners in maximum security prisons. She asked the question, can people retain their humanity without the constant affirmation of their humanity through positive contact with other human beings? And the evidence that she came up with showed that when people become too isolated from others, and particularly in prolonged periods of isolation and extreme isolation, they suffer mentally, they suffer emotionally, and they even suffer physically. Their eyesight can be impacted, and they can have loss of hearing and develop tinnitus. And it's all these physiological things just purely from the fact that they've been cut off from other people.
They show something really profound there about how we are wired up, how we're designed.
Absolutely. We are fundamentally created and designed for connection to other people. And individualism, particularly in its extremist forms, cuts right across the grain of that.
How individualism can make us suffer in that regard. Let's pick it up again next time, Mick.
Great.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.